Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. These words from our Old Testament lesson. And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Here ends these words. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, on this morning in which, Lord God, we take a look back in what happened thousands of years ago, help us to see it happens even today. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So looking at your Old Testament lesson, it's very interesting that we come to a time in the life of Jacob, but the problem is, if you don't know anything about Jacob, this doesn't really make sense. Jacob was a twin, except the twin didn't look anything like him. And if you have kids, if you have teenagers, if you have kids under the age of 10 in your house, you know how kids struggle in order to gain a little bit of attention from you. And they know how to make sure that their siblings kind of pay for it. And so the same thing with Jacob and Esau. From the time they were in their mother's womb, they were fighting with each other. It never ended. And so we see here is Jacob coming along, and he steals his birthright from his brother. And so he runs away, and when he's sleeping one night, God reveals himself standing on a stairway, and the angels are going up and down, and God says, "I'm going to be with you no matter what." And so we see this idea that Jacob's life was tricky. Anyone here named Jacob? Uh-oh. Do you realize your name is associated with the name Trickster? Did your dad know something when you were born? Don't blame him. So naming your child Jacob is to me name him Trickster. And so Jacob tricks his brother and his father, tricks his uncle Laban and makes sure that his flock grows. He tricks his uncle Laban again by not saying goodbye and just leaving with his daughters. And so we see that every point in Jacob's life, he's relied totally on what he could do, his own strength, his own way of farming. And so we see this event where he's gotten away from his uncle with his two wives and his brother, who has told him, "I will kill you," the last time he saw him, coming with 400 men, and here he is, just his family. And now we see the Old Testament lesson come to view, that his brother, who has told him, "You will no longer be living the next time I see you," and he's coming over the ridge. And Jacob does not know whether or not he will last the next day. And this man appears. In Scripture, we're not told who he is. But the interesting thing is this. At the very end, do you notice in your Old Testament reading, in verse 30, Jacob says, "I have seen God face to face as I'm seeing you right now." Jacob says, "I've been this close to God." We know from Scripture that as sinful man, we cannot be in the presence of a holy God. It's like the Indiana Jones film when they open up the ark and the guys just melt away. So in is with us. You cannot stand in the presence of Almighty God and yet live. So the question is, how does Jacob say he met God face to face? Well, the idea there is that this Greek language comes far later, and the word Jesus is Greek. It's not in the Hebrew, so you will not find the word of the Greek Jesus in the Old Testament. So when the Old Testament says, I saw God face to face, who do you think that could be? Isn't it interesting that every time you see God after the fall, it's the same guy who meets you at the cross. Jesus has not left man alone. In the Old Testament, he meets him face to face. In the New Testament, he meets us face to face. So we see here that he wrestles as brothers do. Y'all wrestle to see who's stronger? Of course not. No. We never do that. Yeah. You know, when he was little, did he ever try to pick a fight with you when you wanted to rest after a hard day and he just climbed on your back and just thought he could take you? And about 30 seconds later, you had him on the ground on his back and saying, okay, what now? The same thing was happening here, only here's the idea. This scripture verse is not about Jacob. It is not about Jacob. So when you translate from Hebrew to English, and you translate the words, and you can say, well, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't. When it says that the man did not prevail against Jacob. The true deeper meaning here is that God wanted Jacob to struggle so much that he would teach him that throughout your life, you've always, always rested on your strength that comes from here. And God was saying, I want your strength to come from here. And so the emphasis on the scripture should be about what God was doing in Jacob's life. What God was striving with him. God wanted him to grow. And we see that this is not the last time that God intervenes in Jacob's life personally and has a conversation with him. Jacob, I want you to grow. Some of us today are reading this and saying, I wish God would strive with me to make me struggle, to make me stronger. How do you get stronger today? How do you grow? Is there anybody here that says, you know what, I'm good. I don't want God to mess with me. I like where I'm sitting. I like where I am. I've got life figured out. But the idea in my head is that I don't have things. And I always wonder about what God is doing. And I'm always seeing that no matter what, when I have these huge problems and huge issues that come up when I've lost a friend to suicide, I'm saying, God, why? Couldn't you have put me into his life? And God's kind of saying, I'm still going with you. I'm still going with you. And so in my life, I can be that light. I can stop asking the question of God, when are you going to show up? Versus, God, you've put me here on this earth for some reason. I've struggled, and now I can share that struggle with somebody else as they want to grow. So I'm asking you today is, where in your life have you asked God to help you grow through a struggle? Because there are things that will come up. What's going to be my end? What's going to be the outcome of what happens through the struggle? Am I going to grow? Or am I going to say, God, I don't want this anymore? God gives us things that happen. I'm wondering, what would happen? What would it look like for you to be at your very lowest point? Is there a place where you said, God, I'm not there yet? I want you to show you this video. Some of you will recognize this man. To me, this is what it means to be at the very bottom.
Help me.
So herein lies this idea of Charlton Heston, who's played many figures in Old Testament and New Testament areas. He's at his lowest point where he's being sent to the galleys where he would be tested both physically, mentally, and spiritually. And yet in the movie, it's very interesting that as he's going off for this struggle, here is this carpenter who comes out and defies this Roman by giving the man water, by taking his hand and running it through his hair. Almost to say, here is your strength. And the idea in my mind is, what a great visualization when Charlton Heston's eyes look up and see Jesus' eyes. And his life will still struggle, yet he goes on with this strength. And throughout the movie, his struggle, just like Jacob, continues. And yet it culminates at the cross when he finally figures out what God means when he says, I love you and I continue in that love with you no matter what. And the movie, the rest of the movie, is this amazing portrayal of God's love for you and me. Jacob's life wouldn't get any easier. Our lives today won't get any easier. The question is, who will you rely on in your life when things get skewed? When you wrestle with God, what will be the outcome? And if you know somebody, I would hope you would share that love of Jesus Christ with that person you know. That through your struggle, your pain, others might find the Christ who helped you and still goes with them side by side. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, on our struggle this morning, we ask you to be with us. Lord God, help us understand that throughout this life, we will be touched by sin in every way. But we fully rely on the life you lived in which you overcame everything. And you go with us personally. Through your word, you meet us face to face. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Let's rise for prayer.